Imagine coming home to your apartment, but your front door has been taken off its hinges and the water is completely shut off. Your landlord didn't legally evict you through the courts. They just, made it impossible for you to stay.
Yeah, that is an absolute nightmare scenario.
Truly. So, welcome to your custom deep dive. Today, we're looking at a 2006 South African Government Gazette document. It outlines the prevention of illegal eviction from an unlawful occupation of land amendment bill, which is usually just called the PIE Act.
Right, and our mission today is to explore how lawmakers constantly have to patch legal loopholes to protect vulnerable people like you while also defending legitimate property rights.
Exactly. Okay, let's unpack this because that missing front door scenario is exactly where this all starts.
So lawmakers had to step in here because property owners figured out that going through the official constitutional eviction process in the courts was, well, it was incredibly time-consuming.
Right, nobody wants to wait months for a court order if they can avoid it.
Exactly. So to bypass those rules, landlords simply deprived occupants of essential services. They would physically block access, maybe cut the water, or turn off the power.
That immediately makes me think of like a highly passive-aggressive roommate.
Oh, so
You know,
cool.
the kind who technically doesn't kick you out, but they shut off the Wi-Fi, hide the microwave, and cut the electricity until you just leave voluntarily.
That is actually a surprisingly accurate comparison.
Yeah.
The law had to adapt to recognize that eviction isn't always direct physical force.
So the 2006 bill officially outlaws freezing someone out like that.
Yeah, it explicitly bans this indirect method, which is known as constructive eviction. It establishes that trying to induce someone to vacate by making a property unlivable is just as illegal as physically throwing them out without a court order.
Okay, that makes sense for cracking down on bad faith property owners. But the law also has to deal with bad faith occupiers, right?
It does, yeah.
And here is where it gets really interesting. This bill specifically expands the definition of the word land to include high-rise buildings. I am still trying to wrap my head around the audacity here. How does someone even manage to act as a fake landlord for an entire skyscraper?
It is wild. So basically, syndicates target neglected or mismanaged urban buildings. They move in with a group of people, physically intimidate the security or management, change all the locks, and, well, effectively seize control of the entire structure.
Wait, they just take over a massive building by force.
Pretty much. And once they have physical control, they pack the building with desperate people looking for cheap housing. The syndicate then collects rent from these vulnerable occupants under the threat of violence.
Wow, and the actual legal owner is just completely locked out of their own property.
Completely locked out. And the original law was written with vacant plots of dirt in mind. So these syndicates exploited the fact that the word land wasn't clearly defined as an apartment block.
Wait, so they were basically running an extortion racket disguised as property management and getting away with it on a.
On a technicality, yeah. Until this amendment closed that loophole, it redefines land to include buildings and explicitly criminalizes the act of receiving money to organize an unlawful land invasion. It goes directly after the profiteers.
So the government is really throwing the book at these skyscraper hijackers, but in doing so, it almost seems like they cast the net too wide.
How do you mean?
Well, reading through the rest of the bill, there is a whole section carving out regular tenants who just default on their payments. So what does this all mean? Like, why would the courts protect people who just stop paying rent in a bill meant for hijackers and squatters?
Right. So the original PIE Act used very broad language to define an unlawful occupier. It was originally intended to protect desperate people who invaded vacant land.
Okay, making sure vulnerable people aren't just tossed out on the street.
Right. But a Supreme Court ruling looked at that broad text and decided it technically included regular tenants whose leases had expired or who had, just stopped paying rent.
Oh, wow. So suddenly a normal landlord dealing with a defaulting tenant had to navigate the exact same massive constitutional hurdles designed for vulnerable landless squatters.
Exactly. It was a huge issue for everyday landlords.
That sounds like a massive legislative oversight. Was this basically the government doing damage control because the courts misinterpreted their original text?
That is a very fair way to put it. The amendment was pure damage control to clearly separate a squatter from a defaulting tenant. And while they were doing that, they also scrapped this confusing 6-month rule.
Oh, right, the 6-month distinction. How did that work?
Under the old law, The legal requirements to evict someone actually became much stricter if the person had been unlawfully occupying the land for more than 6 months.
Wait, seriously? That almost incentivizes people to hide out for half a year just to lock in better legal protections?
Yeah, lawmakers realize that exact problem. So the bill removes that time distinction entirely. Now, it just applies a single set of criteria for the courts to determine if an eviction is just and equitable, regardless of the timeline.
That makes way more sense.
What's fascinating here is watching this delicate balancing act play out in real time. You see lawmakers actively wrestling with how to draft a law that protects fundamental human rights without accidentally endorsing lawlessness.
Or creating accidental loopholes for syndicates. It really is a constant game of legal whack-a-mole.
Oh, absolutely.
You stop the passive-aggressive roommate from cutting the power, you stop the fake skyscraper landlord, and you clarify the rules for the courts, which leaves you, the listener, with a final thought to ponder today.
Let's hear it.
As lawmakers were scrambling to close these physical property loopholes back in 2006, what invisible digital age loopholes might modern landlords or hijackers be exploiting today that the law hasn't even noticed yet?